kind of read this last Wednesday night, and I would encourage you to, when you gather together with your family, to take time to read the story of Jesus' birth, either in Luke 2 or as a young child. And I like how the Old Testament starts out, in the beginning God created. And the New Testament starts out, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And that's what it's all about. God, who created all things, sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And we've been talking for some time about the incarnation of God. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God became a man, what the word incarnation means. God became a man, making Himself known, revealing God to us, that we might have our fellowship restored with God. God created us to fellowship with Him. And I'm so glad that we can talk to Him in prayer, to hear Him speak to us through His Word. Jesus Christ is the very personification of love, of mercy, and grace. We read of His birth in Luke chapter number 2, and just a few of the verses I want to focus on for a few moments this morning in verse number 6. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Notice verse number 19. But Mary kept all these things in her heart. Talk about that this morning. Oh, come, let us adore you. Father, we pray now that you would work in our hearts and lives, and Lord, help us to appreciate and love and adore you more. As a result of these few moments looking into your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts and lives. We thank you for the dear presence of the Holy Spirit of God that comes to live inside of us the moment we get saved. Lord, you are our comforter. You are our strength. You are our peace. God, I pray that you would bless now your name. Amen. Consider the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, we hear much about that this time of year, as he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and as Mary carried him in her womb. Psalmist said in Psalm 139, My substance was not hid from thee. I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. God saw it, just like God saw you in the womb. God knew you long before you knew him, long before your parents knew you. Consider his birth. We mentioned a little bit about this Wednesday night, and the Gospel of Luke tells us about the journey that they made from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which doesn't sound like much in our standards today, but it was about an 80-mile trip. And considering that trip was made on foot by an expecting mother in very treacherous and sometimes dangerous roads, and it probably took them a week, I would guess, to make that trip. And then when we think of the birth of Jesus, how different our perspective of childbirth is today, isn't it? There was no gender reveal party. There was no ultrasound. There was no baby shower given. There were, you know, visits from grandma and grandpa. There was no hospital involved. Grandma and grandpa weren't there pacing the floor. Dad wasn't pacing the floor out in the other room while the doctor delivered the baby. There was no doctor involved. There was no midwife even involved. Think of the unusual scene we have before us. And though we sing the song Silent Night, if you've been around somebody giving birth to a child, I guarantee you it wasn't Silent Night. Huh? I think back when my wife gave birth to our firstborn, and I had, being a new father, and all this was new to me, and I had no idea what was going on, and didn't think much about why the doctors and nurses were scurrying around in such a panic much of the time as she was in the labor all through the night, and I was watching the Beverly Hillbillies on the television in there, nothing else to do, and didn't realize that she'd gone through a very valley in the shadow of death. And I heard the doctor say something the next day. We thought, all of a sudden, wait, what was going on there? It became a whole lot more serious. But you see the busyness of what was going on and giving birth to a child. And I would start to say, when my wife was in the room, and there was another woman giving birth to a Roman, and we heard screaming going on in there, and cussing, and all kinds of things going on. And it's not usually a silent night when a baby comes into the world. All is calm. Well, I have a feeling it wasn't real calm either. And all was bright. Yeah, I have a feeling it wasn't real bright either. In fact, it was a mess when you think of what was going on. And the cold, damp night, outdoors, nothing was neat. I mean, it was a bloody mess when it was over with. Consider the birth. And there was no, today we would, you know, send out a, like when our children were born, we send out letters of birth announcements. Now it's instant emails. No birth announcements other than the angels talking to the shepherds, telling them of this baby that was born. And then we see Anna and Simeon and the star and the wise men who later came when he was a young boy. And think of the miracle of birth. A God protected. Of all the births throughout history, there's one birth that Satan was going to do his best to put a stop to. You think of all the labors that have taken place throughout history. Childbirth has become a much safer thing now than it was through much of history. And unless your parents decide to kill you before you're born. But if Satan could have done anything to prevent this birth, I guarantee he would have. And he was doing all he could to attack. But I'm so grateful to God is greater than the devil. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But you consider the birth. Now, I want us to, and I can't paint a better picture than what Luke paints us, the picture of Christ laying in the manger with Mary and Joseph by his side as the shepherds come. And I know we add a lot to that today. We had the camels and the wise men and all those things that weren't there, but we put them there because it makes a better picture And it wasn't a beautiful place. It wasn't a pretty thing. There wasn't an angel over the manger. There wasn't a star over the manger. It was just a dark, lonely, damp night. But as the shepherds came and found this baby, just like the angel had told them, lying in a manger in the hustle and bustle of the little town that was bursting at the seam for people coming for the census, we look at this little child. You see, it's a bloody mess. Of course, that's Mary's blood. That's not Jesus' blood. And as they did their best to clean up how they could in a stable, I think there wasn't much resources to clean this child up. And you think of the baby's heart. It's very held up. And felt his little heart. And that baby laid his head upon her breast and felt her heart. And all that bond, that love that takes place between a mother and a child, with a breathing. I wonder if Jesus had hiccups. You know, babies always have the hiccups, don't they? And their whole chest kind of collapses every hiccup they have. What that must have been like. And the movement of his little hands and fingers, to see him moving on his own. You think of the dreams that Mary would have had looking at this child, as any newborn, new mother would have looking at their child. The hopes and the dreams, and of course she knew that this was a very special child. This was God's only begotten Son that she was used to give birth to in this earth. She wasn't the mother, but she was the instrument that brought Jesus into the earth. She was the mother physically, but Jesus did not have an earthly father. And as she sat and looked at that baby in amazement and wonder, and the fears, and those fears were renewed again with the visit of Simeon and Anna a few verses down in Luke chapter number 2. That a sword will pierce through your soul, Mary. And knowing, wondering what was down the road for this child. And as any child, you look at that infant in your hands and you wonder, what will this child become? And yet this child was different because this was God in human form. This was a mix between deity and humanity. And as Mary looked at that child, and as Joseph looked at that child, I can guarantee you what they saw in that baby was far different than what God saw. And you think of, you know, even, and we sometimes kid about when those of us that have children, when our wife gave birth, what Dad saw is far different than what Mom saw. And what Dad went through is a whole lot different. Dad's perspective was a whole lot different than Mom's perspective of giving birth. And even as they hold to that little baby, the perspective of each is so different. And I want you to think for a few moments as you have maybe your own children, or you've gone to see a newborn child. And I grew up with a lot of older siblings, and it seems like since I was hardly can remember, I've been around little babies, and I've always been comfortable and enjoyed being around little babies. Of course, I know when to send them to Mama, and I like them better when they get up and start cooing and talking and all that kind of stuff. But here's this little infant child, and you know, you used to say, well, all babies all look alike, don't they? Well, until you have your own. Then you realize they are all different, aren't they? Here's this mother looking at her child, and her father looking at the child. Her father is God the Father. And what they saw is not the same thing. I think of folks, maybe the shepherds came in and, And one of the first things you notice about a child is, look at all that hair that they have. Or look at that bald head there. I have a feeling that baby probably had, knowing the lineage of his earthly mother, and the people that he was came and where he was born, he would have been, well, when he was born, he would have had light skin, but it would have turned darker later. But his hair, I've no doubt, was very dark hair. And as she looked at that hair and rubbed his little head with that hair and felt the softness of that newborn baby's hair, and she dreamt about her son, and yet her father from heaven looked down. Though she saw a beautiful head of hair, he saw hair that would one day be plucked from his face. Hair that would one day have a crown of thorns placed upon in mockery. Father saw something far different. As she looked at those little hands, aren't babies' hands amazing? Those little fingers and of course, the first thing you do is you notice how many they are, right? And then you notice that the tiny little finger that can barely wrap around an adult's hand or finger, the tiny hand that could hardly wrap around an adult's finger. And you start playing with those little tiny fingernails and the knuckles and all the intricate detail of those tiny little hands as Mary held the hand of this newborn baby. His father looked down. Saw hands that would make spit one day, make clay on the spit that would blind his eyes and cause him to see. Saw hands that would reach out to the leper and heal him of his leprosy. Saw hands that would reach down to the lame and pick him up to rise up and walk. Saw hands that would reach down to even the dead and raise them up from the dead. Mary didn't see that in the hands, but her father, his father, saw that in his hands. And saw in his hands one day it would be taken and nailed to the cross for the sins of the world. And saw the blood streaming down from those hands is what our God the Father saw in those hands. And as Mary continued to look at this little baby and saw his little feet, nails and little toes. And I don't know if they do it anymore. They come in and take an imprint of the hand, the feet, the babies. On the birth certificate, they had a little, I don't know how they do it anymore. They've been around the baby being born lately. So, of course, they didn't take the imprint of their footprint and things, but you see that little tiny feet. And Mary looked at the intricate detail of those little tiny feet and lovingly touched them and kissed them and felt the softness of their skin. And yet, our Heavenly Father looked down and saw those feet that would walk in the streets, walk through the rocks, feet that would, you know, I was thinking this morning of those feet. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. But to my recollection, the only one I could think of when I was praying this morning that ever washed his feet was a woman of ill repute. Washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. And those feet that would seek sinners where they are. Those feet that would stand beside the well one day and converse with the woman at the well and tell her that he is the Messiah. Those feet that would bear good news. And the prophet says, how beautiful are the feet of them which bear good tidings and great news. And those feet, and the Father looked down at those feet and saw those feet would one day stand in the temple and proclaim that He is the only begotten Son of God. Those feet that would again stand in the temple to be accused of men and hated by men. Those feet that also would have a nail pierced to them, where the blood would be shed for our sins. As Mary looked into His eyes to see a baby peeping's eyes open, I imagine that maybe Joseph sitting beside Mary would say something. And this to me is one of the amazing things about babies, when they hear a voice that they've recognized, when they're in that womb, they can hear. And now they hear, I can hear and see His little eyes as He hears Joseph speak. He perks up and says, "That's funny, I've been listening to him." And those eyes look around, those big brown eyes around, and I think Mary looked at those beautiful eyes. Could hardly resist shedding tears of joy in seeing His eyes. And yet, I think our Heavenly Father looked down at those eyes that are all seeing eyes, that know the heart of me, that know everything there is to know about me. Knows me more than I know myself. Those all seeing eyes. Those eyes that one day would stand beside the graveside of Lazarus and weep tears. Those eyes that would shed tears. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how good that my children would hear the voice and listen to the pleas of their father." Those eyes that would cry for you and I. Those eyes that one day when He was on the cross would look down and again look into the eyes of His mother. And their eyes meet one day again as He was on the cross. Those eyes that would look down at the crowd, and I was in that crowd that mocked Him and scoffed at Him and beat Him and cast all manner of accusation against Him, and yet He looked at me with His loving eyes and said, "Father, forgive me." Those loving eyes, those ears, what they hear. They hear the affirming love of the mother, the father, the stepfather in Joseph, and then those ears that one day would hear the Heavenly Father saying, "This is my beloved Son. Ears that would listen to the false accusations but not pay attention to them. And as He went to the cross and opened not His mouth, as a shearer that, as a lamb that is dumb before his shearers, a lamb that's going to the slaughter, He opened not His mouth. He didn't hear the accusation. He knew the ridiculous accusation claiming that said that He was the Son of the devil instead of the Son of God. Those ears one day heard the Father say, "Well done. Well done." And that voice, you wonder what, yeah, I know this song that we sing says, "No crying He makes." I think that was written by a parent that got tired of listening to their kids crying all through the night, right? Maybe it was the same guy that said, "If you're real good, I'll get Santa Claus to bring you some presents because he sees everything." I don't know. Maybe the same guy wrote the idea that little Jesus laying there and no crying He makes. Babies cry. That may be a surprise to some people. And think of that little voice. And think of what he sounded like when he was child. And then as his voice changed and he became a man, and even as a young man standing in the temple, and here's this little kid speaking like a child, and probably at that age his voice is crackling between being a little kid's voice and an adult's voice, and he's speaking and confounding the rulers of his day and the wisdom that he spoke with. Then that voice that proclaimed to love your neighbor as yourself. That voice that proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That voice that proclaimed who God was. Think of those facial expressions that little baby made, and his mother, you know, even that little babies tend to get that little raisin look once in a while. They kind of wrinkle all up, you know, sometimes they make the face that only a mama could love. and those facial expressions. Oh, I think he smiled. Look at that. He's opening his eyes again. And you see all the little expressions they make. And you can already, it seems like even when they're newborn, you can already see through their facial expressions, their personality starting to come out. That's kind of a scary thing. It's kind of an amazing thing as they grow and mature, and a mother would see those things, and his father would look down and see that face of anguish, that face of joy, that face that knew how to smile to a little child as he held a little child in his hand and said that we're to love a little child, because in order to gain access to heaven, we need to become as one of these little children. We can learn so much of them. And as the disciples tried to push the little children away, Jesus lovingly, I have a feeling that he did a lot of smiling in his earthly ministry. Some people say, well, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That doesn't mean he walked around with a sour puss on his face all the time. Little children were attracted to him. Huh? Try to see how many little children are attracted to a grumpy old man. Huh? but they were attracted to him. They saw God the Father knew where he was going to be one day. And think of this, that God the Father, with him, there's no time. And of course, we see things in their point of time, in the reference of time. Mary was seeing this child in that point of time. But when God sees us, he sees everything. He sees us in eternity past and eternity future. He sees everything as if it's happening in the present. There's no past and present tense and future tense with him. Everything is in the present. And God saw that face that one day in anguish would be praying, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. In that face from whose brow came great drops, as his heart was broken for us. You see that little body, and his face would grow flush with the blood rushing to his face. And he would say, oh, look at those cute little rosy red cheeks. And God said, one day, that blood is going to be shed for the remission of sins. God the Father saw something that Mary and Joseph couldn't see. You see, this baby, yes, he was a baby boy. He was fully man. Yet he also was fully God. That's the incarnation. I love what Hebrews chapter number 4 says about the man side of Jesus Christ. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Jesus was tempted in every sin. And as Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit of God up into the wilderness for 40 days with no food and no water. That'd be enough to kill most of us right there. And there, as he was in the wilderness, the devil appeared to him and tempted him. He faced more temptation than you and I could ever face. I was reading something this week of a man who had a vision of himself. Sometimes you have some weird dreams. You ever have any weird dreams? I had a couple of weird ones this week that I can't make heads or tails out of. They're so bizarre, I can't even begin to think about what they are. But this man had a vision one night of himself crawling up a hill bearing his own burden, bearing his own sin, trying to get approach God. And he looked behind him and saw Jesus crawling up the hill beside him, behind him. And Jesus had on his back the cross. And of course he understood that cross was the weight of his sin. And the man turned to Jesus and said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so grateful that you're bearing all the sins of the whole world, and you can hardly make it up another step of the cross, up the hill, bearing the weight of sin of this whole world, and how awful that weight must be of the sins of every man that's ever lived. And then Jesus looked at the man and said, "No, I'm not bearing the sins of the whole world. I'm just bearing the cross." Thank God for the cross. What he paid for me on that cross. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Yes, he was fully man. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. He was a man tempted like you and I are tempted, but he never sinned. Not only was he fully man, but he was also fully God. He willingly came to this earth. Came to the lowest parts of the earth. Some people, I want to get into that. Some people, I've been studying the book of Ephesians. It talks about Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. People say, "Well, that's hell." No, Psalm 139 tells us what that is. That's when he was born. That's what God refers to as the lowest parts of the earth. And there, he humbled himself to become subject unto man and a servant of man. He willingly gave his life on the cross. For you and I, he was our willing sacrifice, and he, as God, could pay that price because he had no sin nature. You see, I can't pay for your sins. I can't pay for my own sins. Only a sinless sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ can pay for our sins. Jesus Christ is our Messiah, our promised Redeemer, and he meets our needs. He is truth. He is light. He is life. He is the water of life. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. No man could do the things that Jesus did. You know, sometimes we foolishly expect people to do things for us that only God can do. They say, "Preacher, could you do this for it?" Well, I could pray for you. God could do something that I can't do. I can't help myself. I can't do things on my own. I need God, and only God can do that through his mercy and his great grace. Thank God that he is mercy and that he is grace. You know, the first attribute that we see of God is his first communicable attribute. That means things that we're to, that we can catch from him. And the non-communicable attributes would be his deity. He is God. That he is. He knows all things. That we don't know all things. But the first attribute we see that is something that we're to emulate in him, and what people saw of him in his earthly ministry, was that of love. Now, his first non-communicable attribute is his holiness. Those are the primary attributes, but the first one that we're to emulate, what we call the fruits of the Spirit, also the attributes that we're supposed to emulate in Christ, the first thing that people saw in Jesus Christ was his love, his grace for us. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's only through him. He being fully God, our intercessor today. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5 says, "There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ, the man, the God that became a man, fully God and fully man, he has the access, and he's given us access to the very throne of God. He's fully man. Holy God, as Mary looked at this child, seeing a child, God the Father looked at that child, seeing much more than a child. The prophet Isaiah says, "Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son." given. A child in the eyes of the world, but the very Son of God in the eyes of God. He is our rock. I was thinking of this and jotted a couple of things down the other day. He has become the rock of offense. People are offended at Jesus Christ. You know, I've learned this in our world today. People aren't in general offended when you talk about God. You ever notice that? You can talk about God in a generic sense, and sometimes I'm asked to pray in a public place, and they say, well, you can't pray to a specific God. I said, well, then I can't pray. Because if I'm going to pray, I need to pray to Jesus Christ, because He is God. And, well, that's going to offend folks. Well, let them get offended. He is the rock of offense. And He is offensive. People don't get offended at the idea of God, but they get offended at the fact that Jesus Christ is God. He is the rock of offense. He is a stone of stumbling. He doesn't fit with the religious mentality that I've got to do my part to save myself. I've got to keep the Ten Commandments. No, Jesus paid the price in full. All I have to do is receive the free gift of salvation. That doesn't fit with religion today. That is because Jesus, in the book of Romans, talks about Him being a stone of stumbling to the religious leaders and all of the religions of the world. He's an offense. He's a stone of stumbling. He is set at naught by the world. He's a stone that is set at naught by the world. The world says, hey, what He did, we don't even know if He exists. He wasn't significant. He's not that important. We've got more important things to do than talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Santa Claus. Isn't that crazy? That's more important to the world than Jesus Christ. He is a rock of offense. He's a stone of stumbling. He's set at naught by the builders. He doesn't matter in this world that we live in today. There's too many other things that are more important. And oh, how many Christians get in trouble because they don't put the value on Jesus Christ like they should. And before long, their life is unraveled. Before long, they've lost everything. Before long, their family is a mess. And he's been set at naught. Jesus was a rock of offense. He was a stone of stumbling. He was set at naught by the builders. Yet to us, Peter says He is precious. He is the chief cornerstone. The one that we're going to build our life around. He is the one solid foundation. He is the pillar and the ground of truth. He is the stone. The book of Daniel says that is not made with man's hands, but comes hurling down from the mountain of time and crushes all the empires of this world, as Daniel saw them in the great prophecy given to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Crush the world's empires. This rock of offense, this stone of stumbling, set at naught. Some would say, well, He's just an insignificant. He was a good teacher. Maybe He was a good... He's on the same level as these other religious folks. No, He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. There's no man comes to the Father except by Him. This little child we look at in the manger was so much more than a little child. Remember before I knew Him as my Savior, the Christmas story is cute, but where's the candy? When do we get our presents? Oh, now that candy and the presents don't mean much. Jesus means it. Because He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the incarnate God. God took upon Him the form of a man that He would suffer and die in my place and bear my sin on the cross, and that He would prove that He is triumphant over death by raising Himself. Praise the Lord. He is truly the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But seeing Him in that little manger, He doesn't look like much. But He is everything. I pray that He's your everything. I'm going to ask you to stand here.